Good morning to all. We have gathered here on a beautiful Lord's Day with a very beautiful purpose in front of us, and that is to worship God and study His Word to find out how we may be more pleasing to Him. I perhaps don't tell you enough how much I appreciate you. I think about it more whenever I visit other congregations, and not to put other congregations down, but when I come back, I see something that I appreciate more. That is not to say that we have reached perfection and we have a lot of growing to do, but it is to say that we ought to be thankful for the fellowship that we have with one another, the peace that we have with one another, the joy that we have with one another, and the worship that we have to our wonderful God who is in our midst. Purity is something that is sorely lacking in the world today. I don't feel like I need to justify that statement. All you have to do is turn on the television and you'll see commercial after commercial that is filled with impure images. Turn on the television, you'll see program after program that is designed to tickle our desires, to satisfy our lust. Go to the movies and you'll see movies that are filled with sexual images. Go to the grocery store of all places. And as you go to the checkout counter, you'll see magazine after magazine filled with women who are partially dressed. Our society does not value the sense of purity. And so it should not surprise us that we as Christians struggle with the concept of purity as well and the issue of modesty. It should not surprise us that our young women are struggling with it because they are around people all the time who are in the world and they dress like the world. And these worldly friends are saying, look, you've got a great looking body. Why don't you show it off a little bit? And it may be, too, that that young lady likes it when men look at her. And so the desire is there and the struggle with purity goes on within her. Or maybe it's the young man who goes over to his friend's house and his friends go online to an internet porn site and they begin to look. And he knows he shouldn't, but he's going to look uncomfortable if he walks away. And plus his friends are saying, look, you know, you're only looking. Not like you're doing anything. And by the way, we've never heard you talk about having sex with a girl. Are you gay? And the guy becomes very uncomfortable then. And so he puts that sense of purity aside because of the temptation. Look, the world is not going to encourage purity within the life of the child of God. And brethren, it's only going to get worse. Because the trend of the world today is to show more and do more that causes impurity. And where are we? We're right in the middle of it. Who will be struggling with this issue? We will. Not the world, brethren. The world could care less sometimes about purity. But the child of God is to be someone who is consumed with the concept of purity. And it is only when we begin to get our hands around this concept of purity that we will ever understand the issue of modesty. Because unless we look first at the need to be pure, modesty is simply going to be rules and regulations, right? You know, I can't wear anything to here. Or, you know, someone's getting on to me about what I'm wearing. And unless we understand purity, we're always going to view modesty in that way. And rules and regulations long to be broken, don't they? What does the wet paint sign do? We just want to do the thing that they say we can't. Unless we understand the cause of it and the deeper understanding and purpose behind it. So this morning I want to talk about purity that leads to modesty. I want to ask you to open your Bibles to the text that we just read a few moments ago, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to look at several concepts of purity that are found within this text, and then we will move into the issue of modesty once we understand purity. For those who are visiting with us, we appreciate your presence as always. And if you are looking for a place to worship or if you are beginning some kind of spiritual journey and you need some kind of guidance, we would love to sit down with you and study the Word of God. Our desire is only to be Christians. Our desire is only to follow what God says. And if that appeals to you, then talk to us after services and we would love to spend time with you. Purity that leads to modesty. The Christian's goal in his life is to be someone who is pure. We notice as we look in 1 Thessalonians 4, the text that Wayne read just a few moments ago, notice, if you will, verse 3, first of all, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. I want us all to understand at the very beginning that God's desire for us is our sanctification. The word sanctification means purification. It is the process of being holy and set apart. You may hear within that word sanctification the word saint. And that's where the word saint comes from. It is someone who is different. And they are different by the grace of God. They have been made someone different from everyone else. That's the reason why they are set apart. There ought to be something unique about the person. So God makes us sanctified. But if you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, verse 19, we find that while God makes us sanctified, it is our responsibility within our lives to remain pure and sanctified. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. I speak in human terms, Paul said, because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So God's desire for His child, listen, God's desire is for His children to be sanctified, to be pure. And God makes us sanctified and pure. And once He makes us sanctified and pure, then it falls upon our shoulders to maintain that sense of purity within our lives. What is one of the greatest threats to our purity? Sexual immorality. Why? Because the sexual drive within man is one of the strongest drives that man has. And what Satan has done masterfully is he has taken this strong drive that has a very righteous purpose in the husband and wife relationship. And he has changed that and perverted it so that we see images all around us today that threaten our purity. So the command from God is to abstain, verse 3, from sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, once more. Paul said that God's desire is for our sanctification. And in order to do that, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. The desire is there. The temptation is there. God wants you to be pure. How do you do it? You abstain from sexual immorality. You don't give yourself over to it. You are someone who understands the danger. In fact, if you open your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, Peter said, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts." Same thing we've been reading so far from Paul. But notice what Peter says, "which war against the soul." There's the danger. When we begin talking about this issue of purity, there's the importance. When we are not pure people, we are destroying our soul. When we give ourselves over to things which destroy our purity, we are destroying our souls. The fact of the matter is, brethren, we are to be different. The world may do things all the time that you and I are not to do. You know why? The world's going to do it because the world doesn't know any better. Paul is writing here to Christians. It should not surprise us when Britney Spears dresses like a harlot. That should come as no surprise to us. That should not surprise us when we go to a movie and we see scenes of a movie that's coming out and an actress is stripping down or the male is stripping down. They're ungodly people. We are different. We have been sanctified by God Almighty. That's not to say that we want them to go to hell. It's not to say we don't want the grace of God to touch them. But it is to say that we understand that our mindsets are to be completely, completely different. And so we have to act different. You say, well, that's very hard to do. I understand that. I understand very well how difficult it is to have a pure mindset day after day. But brethren, that is the command of God. And God would not give us such a command were it not possible. A quick look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul speaks of those who are engaged in sexual sins around verse 11. And he says, "And such were some of you," shows that it is possible for a child of God to obey the command of God and to abstain from sexual immorality. In the end, it is simply a matter of dedication. It is a matter of the child of God saying, "This is who I am. This is how I will act. Will I be tempted to act otherwise? Yes. Will there be times that I fail? Yes. But is this the course I've set my life on? Yes." It's a child of God. So how do we maintain our purity? Understanding that that is the will of God. Let me point three things out to you. First of all, verse 1. Understand that purity begins by remembering the Lord. As you look through verses 1 through 3, you will find that Paul continually points back to God. We find that Paul says, "Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus." He points them back to their understanding of God. He tells them that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. "For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God." Continually, Paul reminds them that if we are to be pure people, the thing that motivates us to purity is our understanding of our relationship with God and the reality of God. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 12 speak of how the relationship with God has changed us. If you look at verse 11, Paul writes, "Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, what's happened? We understand that we have been changed. We're dead to sin. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 12. "Therefore, for this reason," what reason? "Because of the relationship you now have with Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust." You are different now. Look, everything about the life of the child of God, physically, spiritually, revolves around God. It doesn't revolve around you anymore. It doesn't revolve around your desires to have people look at you. It doesn't revolve around your desires to look at people. Everything belongs to God within your life. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13, Paul speaks of the changing influence that God has in the life of the one who is His. Romans chapter 6, verse 13, "Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both it and them." Now listen. "Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord's for the body." What's Paul saying there? Everything about the way you live day after day now is about God now. That's a tall order, isn't it? That's a hard thing to do. I mean, we're in a hustle and bustle world where we are to think about ourselves. We're to think about everything in the world. God oftentimes falls far behind. And we'll deal with that tonight when we deal with the subject of spiritual distraction. You and I need to understand, if we are to be pure people, everything about our life is a reflection of God. And quite honestly, if you're not willing to live up to that standard, there's really no point in you getting wet in the waters of baptism, because that's probably all you'll do. Now, I understand again that you and I will struggle with this. I'm not saying that if you're ever going to fall, if you don't think you can keep this perfectly, don't become a child of God. But when you become a child of God, you must be willing to live by this standard, willing to strive to put yourself as someone all the time who remembers the Lord. So you let God control you. Everything about your life is about God. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, that we are to be people who always turn to the Word of Jesus Christ. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. How does God control you? God controls you by His Word. And when you and I listen to His Word, and we turn to His Word, and we're consumed by His Word, and we're thinking all the time, what does God want out of my life? And we let His Word guide us. Then we become people who are controlled by Him within His life. First of all, purity begins with remembering the Lord. Second of all, verse 4 of our text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, don't let your body control you. Notice what Paul says in verse 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul wrote that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. If there's one thing we are not learning from the world today, that is to control ourselves. What the world tells us is if you control yourself and you're going to repress yourself and you're not going to develop mentally the way you need to develop and you're going to have all these psychological problems. So don't worry about holding yourself back. If you want to do something, knock yourself out. The Word of God says you control yourself. He says here that you are to possess your body. The word possess means to gain mastery over, to control. Now listen to that. What do you control? He says you control your vessel. That's your body. Why do you control your vessel? Why put forth the effort? You do it in order to sanctify and honor God. Now listen, brethren. When you act in a pure way on a daily basis at work, you are sanctifying and honoring God. And when you don't act in a pure way, then you are not sanctifying and honoring God. We strive to control ourselves, and we strive to have purity within our lives so that we can bring honor to God. And this demands that we know our weaknesses. We don't oftentimes like to look at our weaknesses because it's very ugly. It's very disturbing. But if we are to possess our vessel, we must be people that look at our weaknesses and identify those weaknesses so that we can avoid those weaknesses. Avoid those weaknesses. Avoid those things that tempt us to break away from the purity that God would have us to have. So what do? Well, we control ourselves. You possess your spirit. Look, you're made in the image of God. You're made in the image of God. You are not an animal. What you will learn from the world today is if you want to do it, do it. You are a child of God. You don't just go around doing anything you want to. You don't sleep around just because you can do it. You don't wear things that are immodest just because you've got the figure to show it off. You're different. You control yourself. You think about how your actions will impact other people. About how your purity will be shown to other people. Why? Because that's who you are. It's a child of God. You're someone who is striving to be pure. Paul put it so well in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. As he spoke about the changed life, he said, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So you live a changed life, and you strive to control yourself. And the third thing we find in verse 5 is don't act like the world. In verse 5, Paul says, "Not in passions of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." The world has given itself over to lust and desire without restraint. You and I see it day after day. Here's a good general rule of thumb. If the world encourages a certain behavior, you and I as Christians need to be very cautious of it. Doesn't mean it's always wrong. But if the world rallies around something, maybe you and I as Christians ought not engage in it. And so while the world is just throwing itself out at the concept of lust, and television networks are on a daily basis trying to figure out how far can we push the envelope so we can bring more viewers in and more people want to watch it because it's going to titillate them, the child of God understands, I need to get away from things like that because those are the things of the Gentiles. And I am striving to live a pure and righteous life before God. Why? Because that's His will for me, that I be sanctified. And I might also bring up one other thing, and that's found in verse 6, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Now, within the context, he's dealing with sexual sins, and it seems to me that he is saying that you need to make sure that you act in such a way that you don't defraud someone else of something that is theirs. And I would insert there the concept of purity. You don't take away someone else's purity, so you maintain your own purity. So what do we see? Understanding the concept of purity, we understand that God wants you to be pure. He wants you to be sanctified. In order to be sanctified within your life, you need to, on a daily basis, remember God. Put that thought in your mind. Put that thought in your mind. When you're about to go to a site on the internet that you should not go to, God is there with you. When you're thinking about wearing something that you think you should not wear, God is there with you. When you're tempted to tell a joke to someone else that is impure and does not show your purity to the world, remember God is with you. Remember to control yourself, control your desires, and understand your life is not about you. Your life is about God once you become a child of God. And then remember, don't act like the world. Now, with those things in mind, let's talk about the issue of modesty now. Because again, if we don't understand that we have a need to be pure, modesty is only going to be rules and regulations. But when we begin to understand the need that we have to be people who are pure within our lives, modesty becomes a very real and practical concern. So now, open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at a text that we are probably all familiar with, verse 9, where the Apostle Paul speaks first in verse 8 about the idea of praying, and then in verse 9 about the idea of how we adorn ourselves. Paul writes, "In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." Now it's interesting, first of all, why does Paul single out women here? When he talks about the need to be modest and have propriety and moderation. Isn't it possible for a man to dress immodestly? To lose propriety? Well, yes, it is. It's very possible. But the ugly fact of the matter is, ladies, anytime you go out in public, and you will see when you go out in public people who are dressed modestly, 90% of the people who are dressed immodestly are women. I understand you may see a man running around in shorter shorts, maybe he's got a shirt off, but most of the time, because of our society, and because of the status we have given the body of a woman as a sex object, most of the time the greater temptation is for a woman to dress immodestly. It is a temptation that's going to come from television, from movies, from radio, from your friends. It is everywhere. And that's always been the case. And so Paul understands that women have a greater temptation in this area to compromise in the issue of modesty. So he addresses women. And he brings out three words here I want to focus on for a few minutes. First of all, the word modest. The word modest means orderly, well-arranged, and decent. Now, contextually, we are dealing with clothing that is appropriate. And contextually, we are dealing with clothing that is not revealing, but clothing that seeks to draw attention to oneself. So, if a woman comes in with clothing from head to toe that's not tight, it's baggy, and yet it is made in such a way to draw attention to the person, that's immodest clothing. You say, well, it doesn't reveal anything. It doesn't have to. As we look at this word, modesty. When someone dresses in a modest way, they dress in such a way as to not call an overt amount of attention to themselves. Brother Paul uses the word ostentatious. You know, and that's the type of clothing we're talking about. Clothing that is gaudy. That's just designed, look at me. Look at who I am. And the life of the child of God is not about themselves. The life of the child of God is for people to see us, but in seeing us, they see God, right? So Paul says, women, you need to be concerned about making sure that you don't give yourself over to clothing that draws attention to yourself in an inappropriate way. Paul uses another word, and that word is propriety. Now, we don't use that word that much, do we? I don't. Word propriety means a sense of shame, bashfulness, reverence, and regard for others. Now, this is really beginning to address the issue of revealing your body to other people. This begins to address the issue of showing yourself to other people on a regular basis. And I ask the question, when you see someone who is walking around in a bathing suit in a public environment around men, or if it's a man, around women, are they behaving in a way that has honor and reverence and regard for other people? Are they displaying a sense of bashfulness? So let me just ask you this, ladies, so you don't have to answer any question. But how high up would a dress have to come before you begin to blush in public? I mean, would it come to here before you begin to blush? Could it be that maybe you have lost a sense of bashfulness that God thinks you ought to have? How far down would a dress have to come? How much of your midsection, which is so popular today, do you feel like you could show before you begin to blush? It is very possible for us to lose the ability to blush. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 15, God speaks of Israel as people who are committing spiritual adultery, and he said, you've lost the ability to blush. You have engaged in it so much that it really doesn't bother you now. And I would submit to you that there are probably a lot of women in the world who wear a short skirt for the first time and it bothers them and they feel very uncomfortable. But then they do it again and they do it again and pretty soon it just doesn't bother. What we are seeing here
is that there are some clothings that ought to be considered shameful by the child of God. Why? Because it destroys our purity. Forget about rules. Forget about regulations. Think about purity. And when I begin to wear clothing that is inappropriate, it begins to destroy my purity. What purpose do I have then as a Christian? What purpose? As many of you know, we went to Disney World this last week. Took the girls there. I made a determination next time I go there, it's going to be cold in December. Probably out of everyone there, half the people there were dressed immodestly to some degree or another. At least I would consider immodest. Some wore skirts or shorts that I personally would think would be too short. And then there were some that were just downright outrageous. There was one girl I saw, looked to be 18 or 19 years old. On the bottom of her shorts, in bright orange letters, to catch your attention, it said angel. Now what that should have said was prostitute. Because that's what she was doing. She was displaying her body for the gratification of people who would look and stare. And I may sound harsh, but my role here is not to get up here and tickle any ears. And perhaps the most disturbing thing about it was there was a man walking behind her who appeared to be her father. She had lost an ability to blush. He had lost an ability to blush. Brethren, we may discuss sometimes how far up the leg shorts may come. And let's have those discussions. And let's maintain fellowship to her. But let us all agree that there are some things that a child of God should not wear. Because it destroys the purity that God longs for us to have. And then the Apostle Paul uses the word moderation. The word moderation goes back to the concept of self-control and the concept we've been talking about the whole time, and that is purity within our lives. It is the voluntary self-governing that a person engages in, not because there are rules and regulations, but because they long to be pure. They are constantly aware that they must have a submissive spirit that seeks only to please the Lord, not themselves. When we are talking about someone who has this sense of moderation, we are talking about someone who is desiring to rein in their desire to be noticed. Someone who understands that life is not about looking sexy. Life is not about lusting and fulfilling your lust. What is life about? Your life as a child of God is solely and fully about serving God and being different. That's it. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, Jesus speaks of the influence that we have upon other people. Older people, younger people, middle-aged people, listen to this. Jesus said in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor," pay attention, "but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Do you understand that that applies to modesty and purity? And if you are not pure within your life, you have thrown the salt out. Your salt of purity that you are to influence the world, your salt has no purpose at all. Is that what you want out of your life? Is that what you think God wants? You know what God wants? Your sanctification. Your purity. God wants you to be different within your life. Well, one other word, and we'll begin to wrap the lesson up. It's not found within the text, but it's a word that's found in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 19. Paul deals with the things that we are to put away from us within our lives. Paul writes, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness." The word lewdness is the concept of unbridled lust. Unbridled lust. The key there is unbridled. Lust is going to come up within our hearts from time to time. Unbridled lust is when we give ourselves over to it. And as we start thinking of how purity impacts our lives, we understand that we are to be modest people. We are to be people who have propriety within our lives. We are to have moderation. And we are to deeply be concerned with this concept of lewdness. Why? Because the child of God who is sanctified is to avoid these things. Lust is the great Achilles heel of the human race. It is the thing that has brought down more good men and more women on a regular basis. And unfortunately, there are times when Satan has figured out how to use godly people to destroy ungodly people because of this issue of lust. Let me ask you, why do you think it is so popular to show the midriff right now? Why do you think mini skirts have come back in? Why do you think bathing suits get smaller and smaller? Have you ever seen a picture of a bathing suit from the beginning of the 20th century? You ever seen one of those pictures? I used to watch Beverly Hillbillies. Do you ever see Granny in the bathing suit when they went to the cement pond? You know, I mean, this was a thing. You could make 100 modern bathing suits out of what was worn then. Why is it that you keep getting small? Because that's what people want. When you wear that out on the beach, are you showing a sense of purity? I mean, just think about that for a moment. Are you showing that you are sanctified and different? Or are you giving yourself over to lust? And are you giving yourself over for other people to lust after you? See, the defining issue becomes who you are as a child of God and the purity that you are to have within your lives. Some people say, well, the Bible doesn't lay down a standard. You know, it doesn't give a line. You know the standard the Bible lays down? Purity. And you and I have to consider this. And we have to think about, what do I wear that shows other people that I am different and I have a sense of purity within my life? And the only way you will ever understand the standard that the Bible lays down is if you value purity. And you long for purity. When the Christian wears clothing that is low, high, tight, shows the middle, whatever, the child of God has to ask himself, am I showing purity or am I appealing to lust? Lust that I have and the lust of other people. The bottom line is this, as we wrap the lesson up. The child of God must realize there are some articles of clothing and activities that are inappropriate and incongruous to who we are as Christians. Because we are people who are pure. And there are some articles of clothing that do not enhance purity. That's what we strive for. If you spend your time thinking about purity, modesty is not going to be an issue. It really won't. But on the other hand, if you don't spend your time thinking about purity, modesty won't be an issue, will it? Because you're not going to be concerned about it. And God help us. God help us all. If we as a people ever get to that point, this is radical stuff. And I understand as you start talking to your friends in the world, if you brought up a lot of these concepts, they would label you as a freak. And you may be labeling me as a freak right now. I don't know. I told you one time when I preached on the subject of modesty, the only time anyone's ever gotten angry at me was on a lesson of modesty. And if you're angry right now, I'll tell you the same thing I told you when I preached about it the first time. Don't talk to me today. Because I feel impassioned about this, and you will too, and it's not going to get very far if we talk to one another today. But you call me up tomorrow, and we'll talk about it. And if I'm wrong, then I'm willing to consider what the Word of God says. But brethren, my driving concern here is that we be a people who are different. Because I'll tell you, the temptation is for us to be just like everybody else. And that's not what God wants out of you. And I don't want that out of you either. And I hope you don't want that out of me. The fact of the matter is, there'll be a lot of people who are lost one day because most people are going to take the wide road. And it's tempting to follow the crowd. But be different. Have a sense of purity about you. Protect fiercely that purity on a daily basis. So that one day you'll have a home in heaven. That's God's desire for you. Your sanctification. If you're not a Christian here this morning, you may be living the most ungodly, worldly life, but I'll tell you, God desires your sanctification as well. And God gave His Son so that you might be sanctified. And if your desire is to have the sanctification that God gives you, then God stands here this morning
ready to forgive you of your sins because of His grace. You are commanded to repent. You are commanded to confess the name of Christ before men. And you are commanded to be baptized for the remission of sins. If you're a child of God, you understand that your commitment to purity has not been what it needs to be. And you need to change that. Then make it right with your God this morning. If you need to come forward and have the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we stand here ready to help you in any way. While we stand, while we sing for your encouragement.